Good morning, everyone. I am so glad that you're watching this morning. These are challenging times, as everyone knows. Schools closed, kids at home. A lot of people are out of work. Tensions are very high. Life as we knew it has definitely been disrupted. Some of you may remember watching TV and all of a sudden, a voice would come on the TV and say, "We interrupt this program to bring you an important message." Well, what if God is trying to do just that, to use this interruption of our lives to have his voice be heard right now, to be able to give us an important message? I'm not saying that God caused the virus. There are certainly lots of things that happen in our world that God does not cause. God does not cause people to do wrong, but they still do wrong. But in regard to this virus, God certainly knew that it would come, and he saw it coming. And I believe that God saw that our world had been spiraling out of control on a rapid decline morally. And a lot of people were not thinking about him, not seeking him, not paying attention to what really matters, just living their lives oblivious to eternity. Let that phrase sink in. Living their lives oblivious to eternity. And in other words, not realizing that this life is not all there is, and that while this life is important, God can help us understand what the purpose of this life is and live it out. You know, when people don't realize that there is a hereafter, and that what you believe and live out here determines your after, that means that a lot of people were on the road to eternal destruction, and some still are, even though God sent his own son to this earth so that everyone could have eternal life and then live their lives abundantly in light of eternity right here and now. Jesus said it this way in the Gospel of John 10:10. He said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly and have it to the full." You know, the big idea of this powerful passage of scripture is that true abundant life comes only through a personal relationship with Jesus and the change that only he can bring about in us. That if you truly want a full life, if you truly want a fulfilling life, that you can get right with God now and receive the forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus came to bring by turning to him, by turning away from sin and asking Jesus to come into your life and fill you with the precious Holy Spirit that helps you live for him and live out of him, as he empowers you, leads you, guides you into that abundant life. On the day of the first Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection, the crowd heard Peter stand up and say, "God has raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out now what you see and hear." And the crowd asked, "What must we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And it says this in verse 40, it says, "With many other words, Peter warned them and pleaded with them, saying, 'Save yourself, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. I believe that this is the message that God is speaking again for all who would hear. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. Look at what's going on. And you don't have to be that way. You don't have to go that way. Turn to God. Change. Receive what God has for you. His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy, His precious Holy Spirit, the promise that is for you and your children and your children's children. You know, on that first day of Pentecost after Resurrection Sunday, people came to hear what was going on as the 120 disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to praise God loudly and with joy. And each person heard in their own native language. Today, during this quarantine, you know, that same message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is going out over the internet as millions upon millions of people are hearing in their own language, telling them the same message that there is forgiveness in Jesus. There's eternal life in Jesus. There's abundant life in Jesus. You can have peace. You can experience joy. You can know that God is with you, even in you, and that He can bring about positive change in your life. Change. You know, that is the message of the resurrection. Change is possible. And that is the message that I believe that God wants us to hear in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. Change. Don't go back to the way things were. You should not, and you don't have to. God is speaking to us all, no matter where we're at physically or no matter where we're at spiritually. God is speaking to us all. But listen, we must learn, we all must learn how to hear Him with our spirit and not with our flesh. We must all learn to hear Him with our spirit speaking to us. We must learn to hear Him with our spirit and not in our flesh. You know, there's a lot of different messages going on out there, and I'm afraid that some are just there to appeal to, you know, that fleshy side of us, that nature. But I believe that for those that will seek God, that want to hear truly a message from Him, that He will speak in a way through the Holy Spirit that our spirits can hear, that resonates with us, and we'll know it's His voice, and we'll know how we're being led. Will have a specific word for us by His Spirit in this time, in your own language, so to speak, meaning a message that's intended for you personally to hear and apply to your life right now, where you're at, because God knows exactly where you're at, what you're going through, what you're dealing with, what you're struggling with, what you need. He knows, and He is so willing to lead and guide into His truth, but we must learn to tune in, to hear Him. You know, as we go to God's Word and we seek to have the Holy Spirit personalize His message for us, for everyone that's listening right now, you see, that can happen. The Holy Spirit can take the Word of God, which was inspired by Him, and He can make it known to you in a way that you grab it, you understand it, you can apply it to your life to bring about the change that we're talking about, the positive change. So listen, whether you're already a true spirit-filled follower of Jesus or are just now considering it, or maybe, as is often the case, somewhere in between, a believer, but not yet having that close, intimate, personal relationship with God through Jesus that brings about that true abundant life. God knows where you're at right now, not just geographically, but spiritually. And He'll come and He'll meet you right where you're at. And He can begin those personal changes in your life, positive changes, through the same power that can work in you that raised Jesus from the dead, God's resurrection power in you. So we all need to hear God right now in the midst of what's going on and tap into this resurrection power that God's word so clearly says is available to all who will come, all who will receive. So let's look at God's word and find this message. The first passage I want to share with you is just a couple of verses in Romans. It's in the sixth chapter, and Paul writes in verse 3, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live a new life." Paul in 2 Corinthians would say it this way: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. But we have to understand by the Spirit of God how this works inside. What actually happens in us when we believe the word of Jesus, when we believe him for our forgiveness and receive from him that new life? What happens? You're changed inside, and you can receive God's Spirit, and that's what makes you a new creation inside in your spirit. You know, you're made of three parts, right? Spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So you're a living spirit, and sin, everyone sins. Everyone had sin cause that living spirit to be separated and disconnected from God. So your spirit must be made anew. Jesus said it this way: you must be born again to become right with God. That is, have God take that spirit inside of you and cleanse it and wash it. Oh, how I wish we could see inside what happens when we put our faith truly in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, when we turn to him. But that's, you see, what baptism is supposed to be. It's an outward sign of what happens inside, because we can't see what happens inside. God told us, you know, baptism is a great, great outward sign. As you get down in the water and come up out of the water, it's a sign of what happened inside when you believed in Christ, that you were cleansed. And the old is gone, the new has come. The old has been crucified, baptized, just like laid in the grave, just as Christ was. And the new is raised, just as Christ was, to a new life inside. Your spirit is new, but it happens inside. The scriptures compare it to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it says, just as Jesus was crucified, consider that old self dead. Count yourself dead to that old way of life. And as just as Jesus was raised to new life, you are raised, given a new lease on right life. Your spirit is made new. You're spiritually reborn into the family of God. You become his son or daughter. But then you see, here it is, the application. So important. You need to learn how to live out of that newness of life. You need to learn how to then live in this truth, live in the truth of what happened inside. You need to learn how to live it out, because the part of you that is not instantly changed is your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, the part where thinking takes place. And let's face it, that's indeed where the battle is. You know, that is what needs to be changed. The scriptures say we need to apply this newness of life that our spirit inside received to be able to change the way we think. We need to start thinking the truth of God, our new relationship with him, who we are now in him. How then do we apply this newness of life? You know, there was a story that I heard one time about World War II, and how after the Allies had defeated Japan, and how there was still fighting going on one of the islands, and that was because they hadn't heard yet the message of the surrender. So they didn't apply the truth of this, of the victory. And you see, that happens in our life. We need to learn how to apply the truth of the victory that Jesus won for us. We need to learn how to apply this new life that we've been given. We need to change the way we think about who we are now. For in that military sense, the book of Colossians says, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Let me read you this passage. Powerful passage in the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him, he says, you are also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. You were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sin, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And listen to this, last verse. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You know, that's what the victory is that we have been given. The scriptures say that now that old self doesn't have to be in control anymore. Sin does not have to be our master anymore. Does that mean that we'll never sin? No, but it means that sin doesn't have to control you anymore. It says you are no longer a slave to it. Romans 6, no longer slaves. What a powerful worship song that is now out there in these times. No longer slaves. You are a son and a daughter of God when you come to him. You're made right with God through Christ, and you live in a state of grace that maintains that right relationship. And you can tell the devil to shut up. You can resist his lies that try to convince you that you're still that same old person, the same old sinner. You can tell him the truth, that he's a liar, and that is not true. See, every time that you're tempted to do something that you used to do, you can stop and say, that's not who I am anymore. Oh, that's my old habit, my old ways. And of course, it will try to rear its head again, but that old self is dead. I consider it dead. I'm a child of God. I've been forgiven, been made right with God. I'm a new creation. I have a new spirit, and I'm learning to live that new life in Christ, with Christ, through Christ. And we do that as we change our minds, our thinking. No more stinking thinking, but thinking inspired by the Spirit of God who's within you. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, are the daughters of God. So we begin to speak out that truth, live out that truth, and transformation begins to take place. Change as we renew our mind, which is kind of like reprogramming our minds. We become who we are. We become that child of God, more like Jesus, more like the Son of God. He's the firstborn among many brothers. He says in his word, makes us a son as well, a daughter as well. As John says, that is who we are. And now Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Paul said, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according to the Spirit, who are led, guided, following the Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Again, he says, because those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of light, of sons of God. And that is how we begin to live that abundant life, living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life. It's really interesting to me that the Hebrew word for Spirit is ruach, the same word for breath. You see, the Holy Spirit is to be the air we breathe, the essential lifeline for all of our souls. So as we surrender to Him, we become dependent upon Him. He leads us into an otherwise uncertain future. He leads us. Indeed, He makes our path straight. We have to give our lives to Him, though. You know, that kind of submission involves sacrificing sometimes what we used to think, or we needed or wanted. But here's the rest of the story, Paul Harvey. Everything that we sacrifice by following God's Spirit will be more than compensated by what He does in us and with us as a result. He brings us better gifts. You know, it does feel like a kind of death to give up old ways, you know. But when we die to self, the Spirit raises us up a new life into an incomparably better life, as Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians. In other words, when we die to what Satan offers, we're raised to what the Spirit provides in the place. And God always provides our best. He wants what is best for us. And He wants to lead you into that best if you will listen to Him, hear His voice. The scripture says, if today you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. And so I asked you, you know, would you ask God this morning to show you anything in your life that is hindering your ability to sense His leading, to hear His voice, to receive from Him the words of life, words of guidance, words of peace at this time? Would you ask Him to lead you into a future that is according to His perfect wisdom and His perfect plan for your life? A plan indeed that is good. You know, let's let good change come out of this bad coronavirus thing. We know that before this, many of us were not thinking enough about God, not paying attention to what really matters, maybe living our life oblivious to eternity. And now we all are given the opportunity to hear from God in this time, to make sure we're right with Him, to make sure that we're hearing how to change, to become closer than ever to God, to become more like Him than ever before, more loving, more giving, less worldly, less worried about material things and focused on the more important things, more focused on family, more focused on living out our faith. I've been encouraged by seeing Christian businesses just stepping up and putting out a godly message in these times. I've seen many Christians stepping up too and giving of themselves and demonstrating the love of God, caring for others. I saw in the news one restaurateur that was giving out food for those that were experiencing financial difficulty right now. And I heard what he said at the end of his interview. He said, but why weren't we doing it before? Why weren't we doing it before? Well, let's not go back to the way it was before. Let's not get so busy that we forget about our families. Let's not get so busy that we can't be good neighbors. Let's not be so self-focused that we forget the mission Jesus gave us to share the good news, to share the truth in love, to help one another. We must see these days as opportunity to receive from God power, grace, mercy, love, and peace if we'll simply tune in. Oh, I believe this virus thing will end, but the lessons God wants us to learn should not. Let's let this interruption of our lives, let us tune in to hear God's voice even right now, to hear him speak to you this morning, right where you're at. Would you pray with me? Almighty Father, I lift up every single one that's hearing this morning. I pray, Father God, that you would demonstrate that you know who they are, that you know where they are, that you know what they're going through, you know what they need, that you demonstrate that you are able to speak to them in the midst of what's going on and bring them peace and hope. You are living hope, God. Be hope to everyone today as they tune to you, as they seek you, as they reach out to you now. Let them find you and let them find your great love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.